Attorney Casey Nash has represented consumers for over a decade as a consumer law and credit attorney out of Washington, D.C. She litigates issues like credit reporting errors, inaccurate background reports, illegal debt collection, mortgage servicing errors, payday loans, and more than 450 federal cases. Now, she practices mostly in Virginia, Washington, D.C., but her company and her practice reaches out to many, many states throughout the country, including California. She litigates both individual class action cases. She's a contributor to the 10th edition of the NCLC's Consumer Class Action Treaties and is involved in training fellow lawyers. She previously served as a law clerk in the Office of Administrative Hearings in Washington, D.C., lives in Northern Virginia. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, attorney Casey Nash.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate, no relation to NBA player coach Steve Nash?
No, unfortunately not.
That's too bad. Now, in your bio, you mentioned where you live. You live with your husband, and you mentioned your dog and your dog's name, but you don't mention your husband's name. Is that an indication of the hierarchy in the Nash household?
Well, the hierarchy at the Nash household is that the dog is at the top, and we all cohabitate with her at her good grace. But she just turned 9, so she's getting up there, but she's been a great dog.
Well, that's the way it should be. Great Danes are amazing, amazing breeds. Now, before we jump into the main topic of how I discovered Casey and her law firm, and is the name of the law firm Kelly, you tell
Guzzo.
Me the name.
Kelly Guzzo.
Kelly Guzzo. Okay. When I was working my way through high school, I drove delivery for a dental technician. His name was Guzzo. Not. And you pronounce it again? Guzzo?
Kelly Guzzo.
Guzzo. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So out of Fairfax, Virginia. But so the zombie mortgages is something you're going to learn about and what to do about avoiding trouble. But during the commercial break, we were talking, and I told Casey that I mentioned this home title lock and how you can check yourself. And so tell me what you told me about when I learned about your husband's also an attorney.
Yeah, so this had come up actually a couple of weeks ago and just in our house. And, you know, it's crazy to me. I had not heard of it. I don't have a lot of time to watch television, but just hearing the title, home title lock, you know, I think it says it all. There's no such thing as a title lock. So I think it's a huge ripoff. I think it's something that, first of all, I don't think most consumers need to be worried about. Those type of scams tend to target a specific segment of the population. But even if you are in kind of the target group, it's something that you can very easily monitor yourself. And I don't think that a lot of these title lock companies are really going to help you fix the problem. They'll just let you know that there is one, right? And so that's something that if you do have an issue, you're going to find out about it regardless if you pay these companies, you know, $15, $20, $25 a month to keep an eye on it for you.
Right.
It's
right.
Information that's easily accessible. I know you had mentioned during the break that Santa Barbara has a website that you can go to and pull it up. I do know here in Virginia, if you want to look at land records and actually look at your deed, you can go to the courthouse and you can do that. It's not necessarily easily accessible online, but most places that I've looked, you can look at the tax assessment office. And typically, you know, when a new deed is recorded, a couple of weeks later, that county's tax assessment office is going to update their online records. And in most places, the tax assessment records are available online. They're free. They're easy to search based on property address. And so that's certainly something that you can monitor yourself.
Perfect.
If it's something that you're worried about.
That's what I'm saying. And they're just preying on people's fears. My guest, Casey Nash, out of Fairfax, Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C., she's with the law firm Kelly Guzzo. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I'll never get that right.
Yes.
Guzzo.
Yes. Kelly
and
Guzzo.
And
yep.
I hear a little clicking. Richard, do you hear that? Are you? Do you hear that? Is there some kind of a maybe you're? There's some kind of noise. What is that?
No, I don't hear any clicking noise.
Something in your handset or something. All right, I don't hear it now, so that sounds good. It's not horrible, but there's definitely something, some clicking going on, but no problem. So I learned about you, and one of your associates was interviewed on a national NPR soundbite, and it was about zombie mortgages. And so what the heck is a zombie mortgage?
So typically when we're talking about zombie mortgages, we're talking about a consumer who's having an issue, and it's typically with a second mortgage where they haven't heard anything about their loan for years. A lot of times these consumers thought that their loans were resolved, and I'll get to that as to why you could think your loan was resolved and not sure in a minute. But then after, you know, 5, sometimes more than 10 years of silence, they get a foreclosure notice or a monthly statement out of nowhere saying that they now owe sometimes more than double the original balance. And so for context, you know, most of these loans have to do with second mortgages that were part of the 80-20 mortgage schemes that were popular in the early 2000s. So you weren't required to put any money down on your home. You financed 80% of the purchase through a traditional mortgage. You're down the 20%, which would be your, you know, traditional down payment, was a second mortgage. There were a couple of different ways. Sometimes they were HELOCs. Sometimes they were ARMs. There were all sorts of different models. But they were second mortgages, and you didn't have to pay private mortgage insurance. And then during the Great Recession, when home prices or home values really plummeted, consumers were then underwater on their home, and they hadn't put any money down, and they owed way more than their home was worth. And so many of these consumers, as we know, were able to modify their mortgages through the HAMP program or with their lender. And at that time, there were some 2MP programs. There were some other government programs that resolved these second mortgages. And a lot of consumers, if they modified their first mortgage, either thought that their second mortgage was rolled into their first mortgage or was forgiven under a government program. And what a lot of consumers didn't realize is that that was not actually the case. And in fact, these loans were just charged off. The lenders considered them a loss. They were not collectible. They were not going to get paid. And when the loans got charged off, consumers were not receiving monthly mortgage statements.
But let me stop you.
Yeah.
If a consumer, in going back in time, went down to the county courthouse, they probably would not find a deed of reconveyance. So that second was not, in fact, charged. It hadn't gone away.
Right. So these are loans that were never paid. They were just, the lender said, listen, we're probably never going to collect on these. It's going to cost us more money to continue to send monthly mortgage statements. There's very little we can do. And that's right. If you go back to land records, it is absolutely an outstanding lien against your property.
And it also is sounding reminiscent of a short sale where the bank, where the person's in this position. And instead of wanting to keep the home and stay there and try to modify it, as you mentioned, they say, I got to sell it. And the bank approves a short sale and they take less and it's discharged. I wonder if people who did short sales had someone come back after they even sold the house. Have you ever seen that, or is that a completely different topic?
We have not seen any of these deficiencies. Are for consumers who are still in the home. Because
wait, you cut out for a second. You said you've not seen any deficiencies. Say that again, please.
we haven't seen any deficiencies. So people who are no longer in the home and they're coming back to collect on these charged off loans, what we're seeing is people who are still in the home. That's what makes these mortgages so valuable, is because there's a lien against the property and they can proceed to foreclosure.
So people, and my guest, Casey Nash, attorney out of Fairfax, Virginia, working out of Washington, D.C., talking about zombie mortgages. And circling back to what you said, people were upside down. They got into their house with, remember 80-10 loans with, 10% down, 10% second, 80% first. This is an 80-20 loan, no money down, 80% first, 20% second, upside down, negotiates, modify the loan, charged off, in quotes. But then what happens? Businesses find these, buy them, and then come back and knock on the door. Tell me about that path.
So, right. So, we have consumers who, the first they hear anything of it, they get a foreclosure notice. Your home has been scheduled to be sold. It will be sold in 30 days. They call the lender or the servicer or the foreclosure law firm, find out that someone has purchased their home. These, are sold to, debt collectors for pennies on the dollar. And they're now claiming that they owe many times more than double the original loan balance.
And what's legal and not legal about this?
So if you're not under the Truth in Lending Act, if you're not receiving monthly mortgage statements, you cannot assess interest, late fees, any sort of fees. If you want to assess those fees, you absolutely can, but you have to resume sending monthly mortgage statements. And you can't go back and retroactively assess interest for the time periods that you were not sending monthly statements. So if you stop sending monthly statements for 5 years and then you decide, I want to resume sending monthly statements so I can start charging interest, you can do that, but you can only charge interest going forward. You can't go back for those 5 years and claim interest for that time period.
But you can claim that second is due. You bought it and now it's due, even though it was apparently charged off.
Right, because there is still a lien against the property. And so, what we're not seeing a lot of cases where lenders are coming back and saying, hey, you borrowed, $60,000. We'd like our $60,000 now. We're seeing cases where, in that situation where they're not tacking on fees or interest or charges, that money is owed. It is, a lien against the property and can be enforced. What we are very frequently seeing is, hey, you borrowed $60,000. Now pay us $120,000 or $150,000. And by the way, if you don't, we're going to take your home in 30 to 45 days.
And you would think they would be happy because they probably bought the $60,000 note for $20,000. And you think they'd be happy to just get the $60,000.
I think they paid much less than $20,000.
No kidding. My guest, yes. Casey Nash, attorney out of, Washington, D.C. Is that accurate?
Yes.
That sounds much more impressive than Fairfax, Virginia. And she's with Kelly Guzzo, a law firm out there, and she focuses on consumer law and credit.
Yes.
And so this is the most horrible story I've ever heard, that so many people didn't know. I don't know if, going back in time, could someone has been in this situation, could they have demanded that, I want to go to the courthouse, I want to show that second, I want a deed of reconveyance, I want that officially off my deed. Could they have done that at the time and been successful?
So I think if it was forgiven as part of the government program, it was much more likely. A charge-off doesn't mean that the money isn't due.
Mm.
And so it just means that the lender has deemed it uncollectible at that time. It's really an accounting tool to keep their books kind of current for tax purposes.
And an accounting tool. And did they write it off as a legal expense or as a, no, I'm going into another case out of New York. Keep going. So that's horrible. So, that's horrible news. It charged off. It's deemed uncollectible, but it's still there.
Right. And some of these consumers, this happened in one of our cases, actually received a 1099 cancellation of debt form reported on their taxes, that it had been written off. And then they came back and assessed, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of interest on this canceled debt. So they're really murky cases. You know, going back in time, I would say the best thing that you could do, even going forward, is to just really make sure that you keep all of your documents about your mortgage, even if it's paid off. I would not get rid of them. Record keeping is so important. Even if you think, you know, you are done and free and clear of a loan, you know, keep that record that the loan is satisfied. You know, it doesn't have to be every piece of loan you've ever, or every piece of paper you've ever received about the loan once it's satisfied, but you should certainly keep the confirmation that the loan is paid in full.
100%. Great advice. And if you don't have it already, you can go online to the county. My podcast website has the county link where you could start with your name and you'll see a bunch of lists. But, you know, even if you see it listed there, you want to make sure that the deed, any deeds of reconveyance were recorded properly and you have some paperwork on it. You might have to go down to the county, and it's not going to take a lot of work, and you might find something and confirm something. It's pretty extraordinary. My guest, Casey Nash, attorney out of Washington, D.C., it's just scary it was so vague. And when you mentioned that they received a 1099, am I recollecting correctly that if a loan is forgiven, you can end up having to pay tax income on it, right?
That's right.
Bizarre. So that's the lesson for today. Get the paperwork. Check your deeds of reconveyance. And were these loans, these 80-20, so was this was in the era of 2005 to 2008, that era?
Yeah, I think it might have started a year or two before that and went to around 2007. So probably 2004 to 2007 is really, I think, the key years.
And how quickly did it start happening? I just learned about it. Is it something that's erupted just recently, or has it been going on?
So these loans would have been charged off sometime between 2008 and 2011. And then with the rise in, consumers typically didn't hear anything about it until the COVID really sent the home prices soaring. And so it's really something that we've been seeing since about 2021 to 2022. And now it's, I would say my practice has shifted from mostly consumer credit cases to a large portion of my practice.
Okay. Well, if anyone has any questions, I know you're based out of Washington, D.C., but you work with attorneys throughout the country. Kelly Guzzo is the website, K-E-L-L-Y. Guzzo is G-U-Z-Z-O.com. I'll put a link to that on the podcast. Casey, if there's any other link you want me to put on there, any contact information, you can email me and I'll set it up there. Casey Nash out of Washington, D.C., with a 9-year-old Great Dane running the household. Is it a he or a her?
It's a girl.
All right. Give her a treat for me. And I so appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here in Santa Barbara and the outlying areas. Learned a lot. Appreciate it. And make it a great week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Casey Nash, wow. That's, you know, you might have known about this, but I didn't. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. RadioRealEstate.com. God, I made a mistake last week. I was telling you about two sales in the Upper Village and the Lower Village, and I, live on the air, I looked down and I said, God, why did I print this twice? Well, the reason why I printed it twice, it had sold previously. And I forgot, I had it noted there, so we're going to cover that and a couple other sales, and City of Santa Barbara wants to raise sales tax. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.